Scripture reading before the sermon this morning will be taken from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What shall man do to me?
Certainly good to see each of you here this morning, and we are so thankful for those who are visiting. This has been a wonderful weekend, wonderful few days together, and we're just thankful that so many of you has come to be with us in our service this morning. I've been able to meet many of you. It's almost impossible to meet all of you. But after the service is over, I hope that all of you, local and visitors alike, will take just a moment and greet those who are sitting in the area where you are and continue to carry on what has been such a wonderful weekend. I enjoyed the ball games yesterday, and especially enjoy when we win, and I think Mike and Dale feel that way too. Enjoyed the play last night, which was Cliff's, I guess, first major production here, and so many good things have happened. It's just been so good to see so many of you and to have you with us. It has been my practice for several years now to try to use the theme of homecoming and making music weekend in the lesson on the Sunday morning that follows. And I'll tell you, there have been some times that this has not been easy. I never will forget the one that the theme came out and said, Baby, I'm a Star. And I thought, what am I going to do with that? But we worked something in on that. A few weeks ago, I received a copy of the brochure for this year, and on the front it says, I'll be there. And I thought, now that's going to be a lot easier. And I began to think in terms of I'll be there in the sense of meeting an appointment or being ready for certain circumstances or situations and the sense of a promise, I'll be there. In fact, I began and outlined a lesson along that line. And then this last week, I happened to be listening to WFHC one day, and the student announcer was advertising homecoming weekend and mentioned the theme and then played the song, I'll Be There. And as I listened to it, I realized I've missed the point, because the song indicates, if you need me, I'll be there. And so I began to think in another line of thought and decided that I would use the lesson tonight that I first prepared and use a different one this morning. I'll be there. In the sense that you can count on me if you need me is a very important idea. I've heard this statement several times this weekend. Brother Sewell used it yesterday morning in chapel as he welcomed everybody. And we've talked about it in different ways. But as I began to think about it from the standpoint of, if you need me, I'll be there, I began to think in terms of what God has said. We read or heard read just a moment ago where he said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I've come to believe that that may be the most important verse of Scripture that a person can remember at a time of facing surgery or some other difficulty in life. It might be especially good to just quote that verse before being put to sleep for surgery and remember that Jesus said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. There's a lot in the Bible that emphasizes what God is saying, maybe not using these three words, I'll be there, but at least expressing the same idea. In 2 Corinthians 6, after he talked about worldliness and how we need to come out of that, he said, if you will, I'll dwell in you, and I will be your father, and you shall be my sons and daughters. Don't you sort of see in that verse the idea that God is saying, I'll be there for you. I'll be there when you need me. I'll be there to help you. I'm reminded of James 1:17 that says, every good gift is from above, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That says that God is as solid as a rock. In fact, many of the Psalms refer to God as a rock. that God is from everlasting to everlasting, and that no matter what else happens in life, whatever else comes, that God is going to be there. He's going to be the same caring God. He's going to be the same loving God. He's going to be the same God of justice, but also the same God of grace. And he's going to be there whatever our needs are. I also think a little bit more about Christ as I think of this, and especially going further there in Hebrews 13, after saying, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, it says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, yea, and forever, in verse 8. Jesus is the same. And in verse 6 there, he talks about the idea that I'll be there for you. I'll be there to take care of the needs that you have. We have a Savior that makes that promise. I'll be there. You need a Savior? I'll be there. You need a Lord? I'll be there. I like to picture what's said in Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. You just sort of think of Jesus as being just outside the door of the heart of the one who has not let him come in yet. He's there. He's waiting. He won't force himself in. There's no knob on the outside of that door to open it. It has to be opened from the inside, but Jesus is there. He's there and waiting. Waiting for anybody who will open that door of his heart and let Christ come in and be a part of his life. And as I think of the Godhead and especially think of the Father, I'm reminded of that story in Luke 15 of the prodigal son. Sometimes when we make mistakes, especially mistakes that are sort of big as we count them, we may begin to wonder, is God really going to take me back? Is God really willing to forgive? You study that story in Luke 15 and you see the Father that represents God very probably just there when the son comes back. I don't know how long the son was gone. Evidently for several days, maybe several weeks or months. And yet it seems that the Father was just there waiting, watching, looking, ready if that son came back home. And when he saw him coming in that direction, even ran out to meet him. As you read that, don't you sort of get the idea that God is saying, I'll be there. Even if you go astray, even if you make mistakes, even if you forsake me, as long as you're willing to turn around and come back home, I'll be there waiting. I'll be there. Then in addition to thinking about these words as we think about God and Christ, it seems to me that there's an appropriate setting as we think about our relationships. In times that I've stood here almost in this same position with a young man and a young woman in front of me making their vows one to another to become husband and wife. And you know, I just got to thinking this week that in a sense each one of them, as they look into the eyes of one another, are saying, I'll be there. Oh, we use other words for the vows, and sickness and health and want and plenty and so forth, but isn't that husband looking at his bride as she's becoming his wife and saying, I want you to know I'll be there. Whatever you need, even if you get sick, I'll be there. If you have other problems, I'll be there. I'll be there by your side. I'll be there to nourish and cherish. I'll be there when you need me. And that bride is looking into the eyes of the bridegroom, her husband-to-be, and she's usually looking up at him and saying, I'll be there when you need me. When you come home from work, I'll be there waiting for you. If you get sick, if you have some needs, I'll be there to help you just as long as I can. I'll be there just as long as God lets us both live. And then a little later on, when there's a new baby born into the family and the mother looks into the eyes of that baby for the first time, in an unspoken way, isn't she saying to that baby, I'll be there. I'll be there for you in the next few days, in the next few months when you depend on me so much. But I'll even be there when you get a little older and when you have some problems and maybe when you make some mistakes and you need to come back and receive a hug from mother, I'll be there. And dad looks at that little baby for the first time and I think he's saying, maybe in an unspoken way, I'll be there for you. I'll be there to provide your needs, and I'll be there to protect you, and I'll be there when you need to come back home if you go astray. I'll be there for you. What a wonderful idea is involved in our marriages and when the family has begun. And though we don't use those words, I think that's exactly what we're saying. And then as we reach out a little bit further, even into our relationships within the community and within the church, isn't it sort of described by this statement, I'll be there? Think about how many problems would be solved in our families if we could get all of us to have that attitude. And even had children who looked at their parents as they began to get older and said, I'll be there for you. You took care of me when I was younger. As you get older, I'll be there to see that your needs are met, according to principles in 1 Timothy 5:8 and things like that. And even for brothers and sisters in Christ, I'll be there when you need me. I'll care and I'll share as body members ought to, 1 Corinthians 12:26. And we'll weep together when there are difficult times, and we'll rejoice together when there are good times. I'll be there for you. You know, sometimes when there is a death in the family, we may go by the funeral home. It's hard to know exactly what to say, and maybe sometimes we don't say much. But just going by to put one's arm around a brother or sister in Christ, or just to be there to hold their hand or to sit by them, maybe almost in silence, you're still saying, I'm here. I'm here to do what I can. I'm here to help. When there's a visit in the hospital or even in the home when someone is very sick, we may not really know exactly what to say sometimes. At least we say that to ourselves. But just our presence is saying to them, I'll be there for you. I'll be there to help when you need me. What a wonderful thing it would be in the church if all of us could have that attitude toward one another. And even if we don't know each other that well, but we know that we're brothers and sisters in Christ and there's a difficult time, we're there. There's a time of rejoicing, we're there to pat the person on the back, give an encouraging word. Just to be there is so important in the work of the church. Another thing that has impressed me greatly as I have observed and been associated with the student body at Freed Hardeman is the importance of a friend. I think maybe these young folks understand that to some extent better than those of us that are a bit older. I've especially noticed sometimes when there are responses, some of our younger people who come forward to ask for prayers, that many times there will be another friend who will come along with them and sit with them. Or maybe even get up and come up and sit down by them just to put their arm around them and say, I'm here. I'm your friend. You can count on me. And I have noted with interest the statements that I hear, especially toward the last of April and the first of May as graduation comes and other times, of course, during the year. And I hear so many of the young people talking about what you have meant as a friend and how I'm going to miss you as a friend. And I've also noticed that as we come closer to the end of a semester, after our services, especially our 5:45 service on Wednesday, there will be more people staying in the building and talking, just sitting in one section and talking with one another, or standing in another section and talking with one another. And I think that's the evidence of the value of a friend that sometimes sticks closer than a brother, Proverbs 18:24. And it all comes back to this attitude that I'll be there. And so it seems to me, as we think about this morning, that the real concept that we need to get in our thinking is, if you ever need me, I'll be there. God has said he will. Christ has said he will. We make those promises to one another in the family, and we, in a sense, make them to one another in the body of Christ. How important they are. And perhaps we need to take this statement and turn it around and put it in a question for just a moment. Will you be there? Or will I be there? You see, not only has God promised to be with us, but he wants us to be with him. He wants us to worship him, John 4:23. Can he count on us to be there when he needs us? He has placed his treasure in earthen vessels, 2 Corinthians 4:7, which means that the only way that his cause is going to be spread is through his people. Can he count on us? Will I be there for him? He has even suggested that we put on the Christian armor and we fight the battle of Christ in his army. Will I be there? Will I enlist? Will I serve in the army of God? What about in the family? Will I be there? As my wife needs specific things, will I be there? As my children and family need certain things, will I be there to do what I can? When my brothers and sisters in Christ are hurting, will I be there? When there's a death, when there's sickness, will I be there as I am needed? Will I be that friend? You know, sometimes we talk about the importance of having friends when really we need to emphasize being friends. Will I be there? I think that's the real question. One of my favorite pictures that I paint in my mind as I think about such a concept is a mother who sits by the bed of a sick child, perhaps a father also, but especially a mother. The child is sick and may be asleep for a little while. The mother is sitting there quietly. She may have one eye closed. She may be trying to get a few winks. But you let that child move and she jumps to the need. She's there. And many times the child feels safe, may not even be afraid of the dark because mother's there or dad's there, maybe just sleeping in the next room. But knowing that someone who cares is there is the key to it all. God will be there. You can count on that. Christ will be there. You can count on that. And generally speaking, there are going to be brothers and sisters that will be there for you. Maybe not all of them, but some of them. And in most families, the family members are going to be there for each other. And so I think it comes right down to where I need to look at myself and ask myself the question, am I going to be there? Will I be there when I'm needed is the question that I need to face today. Most of us that are in the audience this morning are already Christians living in God's service. The challenge to us today is just to look at this idea and to once again be reminded of how important it is to have God there and to be there in His service. There may be some here this morning who are out of service and may need to do more than that. Maybe you need to come and ask for the prayers of the church and repent of your sins and know that God is there to forgive and that brethren are there to help. And maybe there are some in the audience who've never become Christians. You still got Christ knocking at the door of your heart, asking you to believe, repent, and confess His name and be buried with Him in baptism and let Him come into your life and you into His. And live for Him as a Christian. He wants you to be there. He wants to be there. He wants you to be there. The question is, can you truthfully say this morning to God and to those who rely on you, if you ever need me, I'll be there. And if you're not in a position, spiritually speaking, to really do that, you need to say to Christ this morning, I'll be there. And come to Him as together we stand and sing.
I am the way, hearken the loving call, obey, come for He loves.